Praise the living God. Glory to Jesus. Wasn't that a great surprise?
Yes.
Hallelujah. It's not often that you see Ronke shy. She says that she's shy all the time, but I don't know about you, but God is good all the time. Ronke is shy very little of the time. Hallelujah. Praise God. Father, in Jesus' mighty name, Lord, we thank you so much for your word this morning. We thank you so much for heaven's breath, the breath of life on our lives, the breath of life on our ministries, the breath of life on our families, on our marriages, on our children, on our finances, on our physical bodies, on our enterprises. Lord God, we give you the glory and the honor and the praise for it in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. Amen. Praise God. Please take your seats. And if you have your Bible with you, will you turn with me to the 11th chapter of the book of Acts while the sound guys fix my mic? It's sounding kind of reverby. Tell me if you want me to switch mics. Praise the living God. Tell me when I sound more like me. Did you feel that? See, that's the verbalization of the anointing of God on my life. No, not really. I'm joking. That it's called feedback for those of you, yeah, who are technically minded. It's called feedback. Acts chapter 11. Once you've found the 11th chapter of Acts, will you just turn to your neighbor and tell them, welcome to Antioch. Welcome to Antioch. Touch your other neighbor and tell them, welcome to Antioch. I want this place to be an Antioch place. When I was praying about what kind of church we should be, you know, in the Bible, if you look through, there are loads of different types of churches. Paul the Apostle went about and preached the gospel in what they called Asia Minor. We know it now really as Turkey and Albania and parts of Greece. And loads of different churches with loads of different personalities were birthed as a result of his ministry and the ministry of others. Thomas the Apostle, for instance, went to India, to Goa. Isn't that amazing? One guy who was a descendant, I can't remember who he was, but I was listening to the radio last week, and the dude ended up in China, had a profound influence of Christianity in ancient China, like 1300 years ago. Did you know by 2030, China is going to be the largest Christian country in the world? As we speak today, now this is the Economist magazine figures, so like they're pretty good figures. As of today, there are more Christians in China than there are members of the Communist Party. Isn't that remarkable? So, hallelujah. God is doing something wonderful. The Lord told Pastor Cho back in 1986 that one day Hong Kong would be part of the Republic of China. And the Lord told him that it would be a poison pill. You know what a poison pill is? Where you take the thing and it affects the whole thing. And he said that God told him to raise up missionaries to flood Hong Kong with missionaries, so that when China swallowed Hong Kong, it was like the dragon swallowing a poison pill, and that those missionaries then went from Hong Kong into all of China. And as a result now, the results are just startling. Can you imagine that? More Christians in China than members of the Communist Party. This is the era that we're living in. It's the era of anything goes. The Holy Spirit told me, 2 years ago, I was in prayer, and the Lord told me that we are now, he said, the body of Christ is now entering the era of every available voice. May you be that voice in the name of Jesus. The Bible talks about the voice of joy, the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom and the bride, the voice of those who bring a thank offering into the house of the Lord and say, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good and his love endures forever. He says, because this is the era of restoration. We are living in the days of restoration. It looks pretty bleak out there, you know, from if you were to believe what the secular media says. But, you know, they can't record charismatic churches. So when they say church attendance is on the decline, and then they show five old ladies with a hat and all that kind of thing at the front of some cold looking ancient church that's been around since Noah, then, you know, they'll never film in a place like this to record church statistics. Absolutely not. And there's hundreds of these around London. What was it? In the mid-80s, there were three churches with more than 1,000 people in them in London. Now there's 32. That's good, isn't it? And that's 2009 figures. So chances are there's even more now. So God is doing something, and I think we're on the winning side. Amen. Praise his holy name. So when I sought God, when I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, what kind of church would you like us to be? What kind of template is there for what you want to do in London town? You know, there's every nation, every tribe, every tongue in London. And it's just amazing. If you look across here today at we're like a rainbow colored church. That's what we're like. And it's just so wonderful. The Lord said, I want you to be like Antioch. I said, wow. So I started studying Antioch. You know, Ephesus was a great church. If you read Paul's letter to the Ephesians, you'll see the quality and the strength of ministry being injected into that church at Ephesus. If you read Galatians, there were two letters to the church at Galatia. Peter wrote one and Paul wrote the other. And there's a strength of ministry there, real exhortation, a real kick in the backside. You know, Paul says in the fourth verse or so, he said, you're so quickly deserting the rock from which you were hewn and you're going back into legalism. And so really, I was kind of 50-50 on that one. I was kind of glad that God said we didn't want to be a Galatian church. And then there's Laodicea. Do you remember that one? You're neither hot nor cold. God said, you make me puke. Hey, forget that one. Thank God for Antioch. Glory to God. So I started studying what the Lord has been saying about Antioch. And I just want to run briefly through what the Bible says in Acts chapter 11. And we'll see where we're going. Verse number 19 will start. It says, so those who were scattered because of the persecution that arose in connection with Stephen made their way to Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch, speaking the word to no one except Jews alone. The first thing I want to say on that is that up until Stephen was martyred, the church was very different. Jerusalem was the epicenter of the church. And up until that time, if you became a Christian, then you would automatically head to Jerusalem because Jerusalem was the center of everything. It's like the way the Vatican is now to the Roman Church. You know, if you're a member of the Catholic Church, then your heart's desire is that one day you'll go to Rome and, you know, see the Pope and all that kind of stuff. Well, Jerusalem was like that. But suddenly Stephen was martyred in the center of Jerusalem, and the Bible says the church scattered. But when they went with the anointing of God. They went with the power of God. They went with the fire of God. They went with a desire to plant churches. And God used the martyrdom of Stephen, the blood of Stephen, to, if you like, jet propel the church into its mission. Hallelujah. So that's what was happening at this particular time in verse 19. So because of that persecution, they ended up in Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch, but they were very much exclusively speaking to the Jews alone. Thank God that's not going to be us. Amen. Verse 20, but there were some of them, men of Cyprus and Cyrene, they came to Antioch and began speaking to the Greeks also, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them. And a large number who believed turned to the Lord. And the news about them reached the ears of the church at Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas off to Antioch. So suddenly there's an outpouring of the presence of the Lord. There's an outpouring of the blessing of God on the church. And they decide, right, you know what? We're going to have to send some leaders down there to help organize and to help orchestrate the church. And the Bible says large numbers. Are you ready for large numbers? Yes. Would you be ready to give up your seat to somebody who doesn't know the Lord and you'll be standing room only? Would you be ready to go for two services a Sunday? Yes. Three, yes. Four, yes. Five, yes. Six, Uh-huh. Everyone clapping now. Take notes. Take note of their name because we will hold them to that one. When the prayer meeting starts at 7 o'clock instead of 9 and we don't see your face, we'll be knocking on your door. Charles, take note of them, please. Hallelujah. And the news reached and they sent Barnabas off to Antioch. Right, verse 25. And he left for Tarsus and took to look for Saul. And then verse 26, when he found him, he brought him to Antioch. So this is Paul the Apostle, who up until that time, his name was Saul, right? He came and found him, he brought him to Antioch, and it came about after a year that for an entire year they met with the church and taught considerable numbers, and the disciples were first called what? Christians at Antioch. Now, I want us to stop there for a second because there's something wrong in the body of Christ generally with the name Christian. Most people think that Christ was Jesus' last name. So, like, you know, she was Mary Christ and he was Joseph Christ and they had Jesus Christ, right? But you see, Christ was a description of something that was on Jesus that made him special. Christos, the Christ, the anointed one, right? The Hebrew word for that same word Christ is Moshiach, where we get the word Messiah, Moshiach. In fact, you can see sometimes if you drive around Edgware or Stamford Hill, if you see some of these Jewish cars and they've got that sign on the plate saying Moshiach is coming, it's because they're still waiting for the Messiah. We know his name. Hallelujah. Thank God for it, but they're still waiting for that Messiah to come, that anointed one to come. Now, the anointed one came and then left us with his anointing, right? He said, the Lord is coming, the Spirit of God is coming. There's one coming just like me, and he will take you where I can't. I am one person alone, but the Holy Spirit can be upon everybody all at the same time. Isn't that amazing? So literally Jesus multiplying himself by the power of the Holy Spirit and then putting this substance on us from heaven called the anointing. Okay, so Jesus ascends into heaven, sends the Holy Spirit, and he says, this anointing that I operated in, he said, with that anointing, he says, you'll do the same works, but even greater because I go to the Father, right? So anyway, all that's fine and dandy, right? The church grows. It goes from strength to strength. Acts 10, Cornelius and his house are the first family to get saved. And then chapter 11, they find out, wow, you know what? We can preach to Greeks and get the same results as preaching to the Jews. So they start preaching to the Greeks because Christianity up until then was exclusively for Jews, right? So then they say, right, we can get the same results. It's amazing. And the Bible says, and they first became Christians. They were first called Christians. You see, there's a difference between being a believer and a Christian. There's a difference between being a disciple and a Christian. And this is the difficulty in the body of Christ. If you make Jesus Christ Lord and Savior, right, you then become called Christian. But it wasn't that way at all. The way it worked in Antioch is that, you know, people are watching and they're seeing these Greeks doing the same stuff, the same prophetic grace, the same anointing, the same power to heal, the same prophecy and the same miracles and signs and wonders and deliverances, those same things happening in the lives of the Greeks. And they're saying, wow, these guys are anointed. Do you see what I mean? So believers first became called anointed ones. That's what Christian means. Little Christ, a chip off the old block. Here's big Jesus doing what big Jesus can do, standing at the tomb of Lazarus and prophesying Lazarus come forth, etc., right? And then there's little Jesuses, chips off the old block, the same signs and wonders, right, happening in the lives of these guys. And they're saying, wow, these guys are anointed. Or if we were Greek, we would say it this way. Wow, these guys are Christians.
Amen.
You see, the question I want to ask today, if we're going to be like the Antioch church, how Christian are you?
Wow.
How Christian am I?
Yes.
there must be something on me, a substance from heaven called the anointing before I even dare to call myself Christian. Because the God we serve is a supernatural God. Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, he's not just the best one in the pack because he sticks out beyond all the others and he talked about love and blah, blah, blah. No, he's supernatural. Before the world even was, before the universe even came into being, he was there with the Father, the Bible says. The Word always was, and the Word was God. Amen. Hallelujah. Says something about me. There's got to be something about me that, if you like, when people see me in action, when they see me and that anointing of God is on me, that they say, wow, this guy is anointed. In other words, wow, this guy is a Christian. May you become a Christian in the name of Jesus Christ. It's been a deception of the devil that we are called Christians before we are anointed. It's a deception of the devil. We need that thing. I need that anointing on me. When I'm going into a prayer meeting or when there's sick people, if I'm doing like a crusade in Ghana or Kenya or a conference or anything like that, I need to know that that anointing is backing me. Because I get very bold. Very bold. And you imagine that if I didn't know that anointing that's on my life, if I didn't know when that anointing was there, Lord Jesus, help me. Praying for the blind, the sick, the deaf, the lame, demon-possessed people. Hey, they'll find you out, you know. Particularly, you know, over here we have the NHS. But you get a guy healed in somewhere in Africa or Asia. Whoo, brother, they'll hunt you down. And it's funny, you know, it's like it gets worse and worse. Even with Bonnke, you know, Reinhard Bonnke. And they started bringing dead people to the crusade. They'd have corners for the dead bodies. It's amazing. One guy even got raised from the dead. You remember that? I think we've got the video in the bookshop, right? Raised from the dead. What was his name? Daniel Ekechukwu. Hallelujah. That's a Igbo name. Yeah. Ekechukwu. Guaranteed. They tried to bring him to the UK to do a conference. And they wouldn't let him in because he, according to the Nigerian official records, he was dead. Imagine. Yeah, no travel visa. Sorry, sir, you are officially dead. And until this government changes its mind, thou art dead. Now, you imagine that level of anointing. Then, let me ask you a question then. If a dead guy can get up, and he was 3 days dead, his story is on video there in the bookshop. If a dead guy can get up, 3 days dead, then what is impossible in those things? When that anointing of God comes upon you, there's a strength. There's sometimes I prophesy some of the wildest things. Half the congregation think I'm a fool. And then when I come back the next year, they're all, oh, prophet, we're sorry. You remember that one where I told the guy he would travel? One of the Maasai warriors. Yes. Never been outside the Maasai land. I mean, he didn't know anything past Narok in Western Kenya. And I told him he would travel. I told him he'd preach the gospel in the nations. I said, and it won't be long from now. I just took that prophetic thing and slapped it on him. And this guy is standing there. Now, he's born again, spirit-filled believer, been in the church. He's a pastor in his own region, thinking, this white man's a fool. He said, you remember his testimony. You were there when he gave the testimony, right? And he said, I don't have a birth cert. I don't have a passport. He said, and how can I sit in a plane? He said, I'm not even educated. As if you need a degree. Some of the biggest fools I've ever met in my life I've met on aeroplanes. But such was his level of like, there's no way. That thing came to pass. And he came up to me shaking the next year. Prophet, they call me Prophet Paul. Prophet. I'm sorry. Hallelujah. What's that? That's supernatural. You can't work that. How can you work something like that up? That woman on the video, you may have seen her, the India crusade woman, the woman in green who was she'd had a migraine headache for 3 weeks. Been to all the doctors and ne'er-do-wells that she could have found in Hyderabad. And suddenly she said it was like a glow came over her. and three solid. I don't know what. If I have a headache for more than 5 hours, are you the same? My God, it's terrible, isn't it? But there's something about that anointing. When it comes on you, it will seek people out like that, and it will drive out their infirmities. It will drive out their diseases. Jesus, when Jesus was ministering on earth, do you remember the woman whose daughter was cruelly demon-possessed? I think it's somewhere around Matthew 19, somewhere like that. And the Bible says that Jesus didn't even answer her. He kept on walking. You remember that? And then obviously she threw herself in front of him, and he virtually steps over her and carries on walking. And he said this, he said, it's not good to give the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. You see, he describes healing as the children's bread, right? And she said, no, but even the crumbs, the dogs can even eat the crumbs from the table. What does that mean? That means that crumbs is deliverance. The children's bread is healing. Crumbs are the deliverance. May you get your crumbs in Jesus' mighty name. May you get your bread in Jesus' mighty name. May you become bread for the nations. Amen. In the name of Jesus Christ. Well, as my cousin Nick was going off to Kenya with Kamau, and he was saying, you know, he said, Paul, do you have any tips? Like, what do you do getting out there? I said, listen. I said, when you stand there, I said, be as bold as you can, that only God can rescue you from what comes out of your mouth. Hallelujah to Jesus. There's something about it. The Bible says multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision. That's the era that we're in now. The world is deciding, right? This is what's happening, right? Okay. There's three realms in the realm of the spirit. There's the first heavens, right? That's the seen heavens. Then there's the second heavens. You remember the Bible says Paul got taken up to what? The third heavens. 2 Corinthians 12, right. The first heavens is the seen heavens. It's the stellar world. It's the whole, you know, universe and the stars and all that kind of thing that came out of the mouth of God when he said, let there be light, right? Then there's the second heavens. That's the unseen world. That's the realm of the spirit. That's where demons operate. That's where angels operate. That's where the anointing operates and stuff like that. And then there's the third heavens, which is heaven itself. That's where Jesus lives and the Father reigns and rules in majesty, right? Now, what's happening is, as the glory of God is getting closer to the earth for the close of this age, the power and the anointing of God is getting stronger in the second heavens, which means that more and more demons are being driven into the first heavens world. So now demons seek possession of human beings like never before, because the glory of God is increasing in the second heavens. I hope you read your Bible and I hope you can keep up with me. Okay, right. Now, this is the world we live in, right? That you imagine you're getting on a plane and you're standing at the check-in desk and you're checking in your bags and you're making sure your children are okay and everything around you is fine. And, you know, there's the hubbub, the excitement of all the school children around you and business people and all that kind of stuff standing around. And then you're ready to go off to your gate. And then a guy walks past you who is completely possessed of the devil. Possessed to the extent that he's seen the people at the check-in desk. He's seen them carrying their bags on the plane. And yet he is determined to fly that plane into a mountain. That's the era we live in. You all saw it yourself, German wings. That's the era we live in. That a guy can check off like a plane full of people, 250 odd people, Malaysia Airlines, just turn off his transponder, say goodnight. That's it, never heard of again. Somewhere in the watery grave of the Indian Ocean. That's demon possession. Yeah. Yes. That's not just obsession. That's not just oppression. That's possession. When a demon has taken hold of the mind of a person. And, well, psychiatrist, how would you medically diagnose such a thing? Medical science has no diagnosis for such a thing. What's it called? Demon. D-E-M-O-N. Hallelujah. Now, that's the darkest side of life, right? The brightest side of life is that you have people anointed of God, loving Jesus, serving the Lord with all their heart, just desiring to download the character of heaven into their life. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love isn't jealous or boastful or proud. It doesn't act unbecomingly. It doesn't hold back, and it never fails. So you've got characters like this walking the earth, and then in between the brightest of the light and the darkest of the dark, you've got multitudes in the valley of decision. So this is why the Holy Spirit said what he said, that we are now entering the era of every available voice. Every voice matters. Your voice matters. Amen. I've seen all this nonsense from the NHS coming out where they're trying to stop the gospel being preached in hospitals and surgeries. Have you seen that? Where they've been like trying to dismiss people because they've answered questions. Can you imagine you're a Muslim and you're working there in a hospital and you're desperately seeking the truth? You know that what you're praying to has no power. Your people know, because when they want power, they go to a witch. They don't go to an imam. And yet you're not allowed to answer a question when they say, what's your opinion on the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? What's your opinion on Jesus Christ? Official guidance now from the National Health Service of Great Britain is that you don't answer their questions because you could be stood liable for trying to proselytize. So you have to say to them, I'm sorry, you know, let me tell you some other time. Let me think about it. Imagine. Multitudes in the valley of decision, and yet the devil is trying to shut the mouth of God's people. May he never shut your mouth in Jesus' mighty name. If this is the era of every available voice, may you become that voice in Jesus' mighty name. I feel like the recruiting sergeant for the Holy Spirit today. Hallelujah to Jesus. We've got that multitudes in the valley of decision. Now, this is the good news, right? If God wants us to become an Antioch church where people will say, wow, these people are different. There's something about them. It's not just love. It's not just kindness. It's not just, you know, the genuine sense of family that we get here in the church. No, there's something. There's a supernatural element to it. These guys are anointed. Then you've earned your badge. Bang, Christian. May you become a Christian in the name of Jesus. The Bible says that his burden in Isaiah chapter 10, verse 27, his burden shall be removed from off your neck and his yoke shall be destroyed. Talking about the yoke of oppression, the burden of oppression, the burden of things that Jesus bought and paid for on the cross of Calvary. Our damnation was paid for and he bought us salvation. Our sicknesses have been paid for and he bought us not only health, not only wholeness, but what the Bible calls divine life. That thing that comes out of you and heals other people. That's next level wholeness, isn't it? Lord Jesus, I'd love to get there one day. I think I'm getting there. Junior tried to kill me in the gym on Friday and I survived. I pulled two muscles in my legs. I couldn't even walk yesterday. I looked like John Wayne walking down the road to the garden center. But thank God, you know, I survived. One day I'll live in that divine life. What the Bible says, in him was life. Wow. That thing, you couldn't make Jesus sick if you tried. The devil tried several times, touching lepers and all kinds of stuff. Imagine. But Jesus paid for our divine life. The Bible says, although he was rich, yet for our sakes he became poor, that we through his poverty might be made rich. And that word rich, that's luxuriant rich. He paid for our poverty. He is anointed to prosper us. And then he paid for our worthlessness, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5, that we might become ambassadors for Jesus. This is the God we serve. How many of you would like to become anointed? Just put up your hand right now. Just close your eyes right now. And keep your hand up. Father, in the name of Jesus, in fact, stand to your feet, guys. I want to recruit you all today that you'll look for that anointing. 1 John chapter 2 and verse number 20 says you have an anointing. So if the Holy Spirit says you got one, you got one. You just got to get used to it. You just got to know how it feels. You just got to know how to tap into that thing and go for it in the realm of the Spirit. Every single one of us is different. Every single one of our gifting is unique, but God has given those gifts to us all, the Bible says. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord God, I pray that we wouldn't just call ourselves anointed ones, Christians, but that the world will see our anointing. In the name of Jesus, Lord, in this era of every available voice, Lord, we claim that greater measure of your anointing, that greater measure of your power, that greater level of your favor. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name, they shall cast out devils. In my name, they shall lay hands on the sick. They can drink any deadly thing and it won't harm them. They can handle serpents and scorpions and all the power of the devil. Nothing shall by any means harm them. Thank you, Father, that in this congregation today are eyes to the blind, ears to the deaf, organs to those whose organs are failing. Thank you, wonderful Jesus. Healing to the cripples. Thank you, Lord God. Healing to the brokenhearted. Father, as my wife goes off on the Healed for Life encounter this week, Father, I pray for a new level of anointing. New level of anointing. Father, however anointed, however Christian she is already, multiply it, Heavenly Father. In the name of Jesus, multiply that anointing. Pains and sorrows held in hearts for decades, Father, uprooted by the compassion of Jesus. Show her your compassion, Lord, I pray. Show her your mercy. Show her your goodness. Show her, Father, new levels of your glory, we pray. In the name of Jesus, thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, wonderful God. I see the cloud on some of you. Just drink that. Just drink that. That cloud. When the cloud appears, my goodness. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit. My goodness, I feel such a strong anointing today on me. Lord, bless your wonderful name, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. God, we give you the glory and the honor for it. Father, only you can do it, Lord. Do it. Do it in the name of Jesus. Do it. Let the compassion of the Most High be big in this house. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen and amen. Put your hands together for the Lord. Praise his holy name. Praise his holy name.